I think I'm losing weight because they ought to put this thing on me to keep my pants up. And they said, when you're losing weight, it's good. And I went to the barber the other day, he scraped the thing off. And I had to pay him. I had to pay him $1,000, $1,000 Guyana dollars, which is $5 American. And some people tell me they like it, so I said, I'm going to keep it that way. I tell you what, age has a lot to do with some of the things in our lives. And we don't like to admit it, but we age and everything else. We have some special guests here, Jennifer and Jillian. They go to the worship center, but they've been to Guyana last year, and they work with the kids. And we have people coming in there all the time, working with the kids, staying with the kids, and serving the Lord. For those who may not know much about the orphanage, we have, let's say, we had 30 kids up to about a month ago, 2 months ago. And then two of them were adopted by an American couple. An American couple who is serving in the U.S. Embassy in Guyana. They're still living in Guyana. They're living with the American couple, but eventually they'll be coming over here to Florida. And two of our other kids, Daniel, those who know Daniel, and his brother, Terrence Simon, went with their mother. And we're glad that Daniel went with his mother because Daniel had some unique problems that we could not solve. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed that God will help us to do the right thing. And I think the mother's love may help quite a bit. So we need to pray for Daniel. Right now we have 26 kids, and 5 of them have graduated to go to high school. Isn't that wonderful? And when we get back there, we're going leaving here on Tuesday to New York and flying out of New York Wednesday night into Thursday morning. We leave New York about 1:15 a.m. You see, I got mixed up with that thing one time, 1:15 a.m. on Thursday. So I wanted to go to the airport on Thursday, but you got to go there Wednesday night to catch up Thursday morning. And we'll be home about 7:30 Thursday morning, and then we started working again. But thanks to all those who attended our breakfast, fundraising breakfast, it was wonderful. The Lord was there in His presence, and many people were touched, and they gave, and the Lord blessed us wonderfully. Also on this trip, I have been experiencing the wonderful hand of the Lord. Myself and my wife, Sheila, we have been thrilled. I guess if we were not seasoned Christians, we would have been staggered. I said some of this in the breakfast, but when we got here Thursday night, one Thursday night, and Friday night, we were invited to be with a whole group of Hindu people. And they invited us there, and they raised an offering for the orphanage. And I came home, and the girl who did that, she sent some more checks in the mail. I said, well, thank you very much. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I didn't say much. I just sit there and shine, you know? You know how you shine? Because what happened, they have this concept that they have everything. They have money, they have house, car, and so their God has blessed them, whoever He is. And you cannot get them to convert easy. So the best thing to do is to friend them, befriend them, you know? And maybe God will work a miracle. But that's not the end of the story. On Saturday night, we spent some time with some Muslim people. They invited us. They insisted that we spend the night with them in a condo in Roosevelt Island and Manhattan. overlooking the river and the city. This was nice. I wish I didn't have to go back to Guyana. And they want to be involved in the orphanage. Serious involvement. I said, praise the Lord. Then Sunday morning, I preached at a Pentecostal church in New York. So Friday night we were with the Hindus, Saturday night we were with the Muslims, and Sunday morning we were with the believers. And they were all giving towards helping the kids in Guyana. I am amazed, I'm thrilled, I'm thankful to God every day for his wonderful work. And I know this is the work of God, for he is sustaining it. He's meeting every need. This past Tuesday, Pastor Doug drove us up to Washington, D.C., Bethesda, Maryland, just in the Washington area. And we were talking with some people. They're retired, but one of them worked with the World Bank. And the other one, she worked with the International Monetary Fund. So nice to meet you, I said. So nice to know you. And the one that worked with the International Monetary Fund, she said, I want to be a fundraiser. I said, great. She said she wanted to put her name on the list of the charities for the International Fund. I said, please do. And she said, I want to put your name on the United Way. I said, please do. I just say that to let you know that God has been working miracles on our behalf. And I want to thank you for being a part of it. And I want to thank you for what you're doing. There's one lady in Guyana that supports us. And her support was very, very interesting. But when we started the orphanage, we didn't have too many friends, you know. And she came on board. One of her sons got killed in a motorcycle accident. And she started to give 10,000 Guyana dollars. Which is 50 American dollars. That's a lot of money. And she sells chickens in the sun. She killed them right there, feathered them right there, and sell them to you. And the other day she came to the orphanage. So we went to see her, and we talked with her a little bit, and she said, how much do I owe you? I said, you don't owe nothing. She missed a couple months of her support. She came home and she brought $30,000 in a brand new CR Honda, CR4, brand new. And she was driving it. I said, be careful. It just goes to show that people want to give their money where God is going to bless them. She's blessed. And she don't stop giving. She don't stop giving. She just keep giving. Christmas time she comes and bring gifts for all the children. It just shows the more you give to God is the more God will give back to you. I can go on and on and tell you stories, but let me say this. We thank you for your support. We thank you for your prayers. When you support kids, you are having what we call James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God. Is to help the fatherless and the widows in their times of distress. Now, this past week, I had a little cold, so my throat every now and then will itch me a little bit. So if I don't speak too well, I'm sure you're going to excuse me. There's a joke here that I shared at the breakfast. I'm trying to remember all of it, and I want to share it with you this morning. A pastor was a pastor in the church, but himself and the song writer, the song leader, they never get along. He got up one morning and said, you know, we ought to give more to the Lord, and we ought to give more to God's cause. And just after he's finished speaking, the song leader got up and started to sing, Jesus paid it all. Another week he got up and said, we ought to be strong believers, and we ought to move on for the Lord. Song leader got up and sing, I shall not be moved. And then the pastor, he was getting a little upset, and he got up one Sunday and he said, you know, I'm thinking of resigning from this church. I love your people a lot, but somehow I feel like I ought to move on. And the song leader led the song, Why Not Tonight? And then the next Sunday he came and said, brethren, I've made that decision. None of you influenced me to leave, but the Lord Jesus spoke to me, and I'm following his orders. Song leader got up and sang with everybody, What a friend we have in Jesus. And of course, you heard of one of the drunk that wants to be baptized. He saw this group of people by the riverside. It was a Baptist preacher baptizing members. So he staggered there and he came a little, and he staggered down into the water by the preacher. And the preacher said, you want to be baptized? He said, yes. So the preacher held him and dipped him, brought him up one. He said, did you find Jesus? He said, no, sir. So the preacher held him again, dip him again, hold him a little longer, bring him up. He said, did you find Jesus this time? He said, no, sir. Preacher was a little irritated. And everybody was looking on, you know, that he was wasting his time with this guy. And he held him a little stiffer, and he took him down and got him for about 30 seconds. Brought him up. He said, did you find Jesus now? He said, sir, is this where you lost him? I'm going to ask you to stand this morning, please, for 1 minute. Turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, verse 20. If you have some time today and you can read the whole chapter of Luke, chapter 15, it's very interesting. Verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. I want to go down to verse 32. Verse 31. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Lost and found, that's what I want to call this. Lord, in the name of Jesus today, I ask that you will give us inspiration, give us anointing. Let our minds be fixed on you today and on your word. Let none of us leave here today without a blessing. We thank you, O God, and we give you the praise and the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have your seats. Every now and then I may have to stop and clear my throat, but I hope that'll be okay with you. All right, now, lost and found, there are many departments of lost and found. The buses to run, they have a department lost and found, and they got all kind of stuff in there, you can imagine. Airlines, they have a lost and found department, and they have so many stuff in there. And I read a story one time ago about a wedding ring that was lost and found in a fish's belly that was caught by a fisherman. And because of the initials on the ring, they were able to return it to the owner, who was not living far away. And I know there are many, many family members. Many of us have family members, children, cousins, nephews, who are lost, far away. Last Sunday I was in York preaching, and there come up this lady to me and said, you know, I want you to pray for my daughter. She's 21 years old. I said, yes, I'd be glad to do that. And she said, she's somewhere in Queens, New York. I said, I know Queens. That's where I go all the time. And she said, she is with a gang. And they're not doing drugs so much, but they're doing counterfeit money. And she said that the feds know her, and they would arrest her, but they're allowing her to go on because they want to get all the others together. And the gang she's with wouldn't allow her to call the mother, wouldn't allow her to, and she said, pray for her. And there's a Pentecostal lady. She speaks in tongues and she worships God. And she said, many times I cry myself to sleep. And if you know this chapter very well, there are three things here. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Very simple. I know you know these stories. So today, with the help of the Lord, we're going to try to dig a little deeper and see if we can learn something more that can help us in our Christian life. The lost sheep was lost. And it says the shepherd will leave the 90 and the 9 and go look for the one. Now here's the story. He would not count his sheep until he comes home. And most of the time, he comes home in the afternoon when the sun is about to go down. And he'll put his sheep into the fold, and he'll start to count them and call them by their name. Skinny, woolly, jumpy. And then he found out this little guy, Trouble, was missing. You see, Trouble was missing. His son was going on very fast. He was tired. He was supposed to go have his supper and eat, but Trouble was not there. And with a shepherd's heart, he locked the 99 in, and he stepped out looking for Trouble. And you can hear him calling, Trouble, where are you? He walked down the road. He walked into the bushes, climbed the hill, walked over the creek. He peeped under every brush. He looked everywhere. Trouble, where are you? You see, my friend, a shepherd loved the sheep. And we have a shepherd today. And his name is Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen. And as he went on, he heard a little bleat. Scary, terrified little bleat. And he knew it was Trouble. And he followed the sound of the bleat, and when he went there, he found Trouble was all wrapped up in vines, wrapped up in thorns. He couldn't get out. He was tangled up. I don't know about you, but that is how I was. That is how I was. I was tied up in sin. I was buried in lies. I was covered in deceit. My heart was wicked. There was nothing good in me. But hallelujah, somebody say amen. One day the good shepherd came and took me home in his arms and put me in his fold. And all the house was rejoicing. You see, the Bible says, when one sinner repents, the whole of heaven. Isn't that something? Can you imagine how often they repent in heaven? Come on, Gideon, bring your trumpet here. Come on. David, your harp. Come on over here. Miriam, get the tambourine. We're going to sing, A Sinner Has Come Home. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so the little lamb, Mr. Trouble, found his way home. And then the shepherd put him in. And then the shepherd locked him up. Then the shepherd went and do what he had to do. Today, there are many that are lost out there. Tangled up in drugs, tangled up in adultery and fornication, tangled up in false doctrine. I must mention that because they think they're right when they're wrong. tangled up in things that are not of God, tangled up in witchcraft, tangled up in voodoo, tangled up in sin. But oh, there is deliverance, my friend. And though the Lord may not come down from heaven in a bodily form, he can anoint us. He can anoint you. He can anoint me to go look for them. And in the name of Jesus, untangle them and set them free by the power of God. And so we go to find the coin. You see, the sheep had some life. Had a little brain, but didn't do much with it. But the coin had no life, no brain, and it was lost. I'm told that a young lady who's engaged to be married will get some coins, and there will be, her fiancé will give her coins, put them on her forehead. And she will make sure she keeps them there, and everybody will know that she's engaged. And one got lost, and she was in trouble. She was not paying enough attention, but she turned that house upside down. She swept every corner until she found the coin. And then she called her neighbors and brought them in that they could rejoice. Come rejoice with me. I found the coin that is lost. I'm going to tell you something today. A church that rejoices is a church that will find the lost sheep. Is a church that will win the lost soul. Is a church that will have somebody testifying of the power of Jesus Christ that have changed their lives and transformed them. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And then we come to our story today of the lost son. Certain man had two sons, a parable, Jesus said. An earthly saying with a heavenly meaning. And I believe this man that had these sons took them to the tabernacle or the temple on the Sabbath day. I believe at an early age they learned the Ten Commandments. I believe they read the Torah, Moses' books, every day. I believe they were not allowed to eat certain things. And they were not allowed to do certain things in this home. And this man was a blessed man. He was rich. He had servants. He had sheep. I believe he had farmlands, and he was rich. But nowhere did we see the wife was mentioned. Maybe she died earlier on. But this man loved his sons very much. And one day when he was not expecting it, the younger son got up and said, "Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. Divide the property." You see, a young man has got to grow up now to have that courage and that strength in his back to stand up before his father and say, "Hey, old boy, give me what you got for me." That's how they talk today, my brother. And in Guyana, when they talk about their father, it's a shame. They call him old boy. They call him, you know, don't worry him. You call me old boy, we got to see who's older. And the father was shocked. And I believe he tried to talk to him. "Son, I love you. Son, your portion here is going to grow every year. You don't have to go anywhere. What you need, I'm going to give it to you." "No, no, no, I can't stay here. I got to go. I got to seek my fortune somewhere else. I got to leave." I believe that night the father could not rest. I believe he fell on his face before God. And I believe he cried out to God. But there was nothing he could do. They argued. They talked about it. Father rebuked him. But his mind was made up. Could it be his friends at school? Could it be prayer pressure? Today we would say, could it be the television shows that they watch? Could it be the kind of movies that they see? Could it be the influence of the teacher in school who don't believe in God and believe in the Bible? We don't know. He gathered all his stuff together. I want you to see the picture now. Got a long robe and got a big bundle with a stick attached to it, and he was heading out. And as he was going, the father's heart was longing after him, was longing after him. There are many young people today that do not know what lies out there for them. They do not know out there in the far country, that's where he went to, into far country, Satan rules. In the far country, demons possess people. In the far country, demons of drugs and demons of alcohol and demons of wicked living roam, and they will possess anyone who make themselves available. And so he was going out there and not even know where he was going, and he would not even listen to his father. We got some young people like that today. They will not listen. He left his Bible home, Brother Les. Shame to walk with it. He left all his CDs of gospel music home. I'm not going to take that with me. And he went in a far country where nobody knew him. Oh, my friend, I tell you, we don't have to go far away to sin. We can sin in our hearts anywhere we are. And of course, when he went there, he had all this money and he found a lot of friends. Can you guys show me a good night spot here? Oh, yes. And when he pulled out the money, you know, it was $100 bills. I said, well, got more friends. The girls come around and they like him a lot. We love you. And he said, wow, look at that. All the friends I have, and I'm stuck at my father's house over there, watching the old man night and day, and these people love me so much. You know the story, I don't have to. He wasted his substance with riotous living. See, in the far country that he went to, there was no God. There's no hope. They wasted their lives. He partied every night. He was giving big tips. He was buying the best wine. And he was living it up high. Until one day when he went to the bartender and said, hey, give me some drinks, but I'll pay you tomorrow. And he said, no, you pay now. His friends came and said, hey, give me $20. I don't have any. They walk away and left him. That night, no one gave him a ride home. He walked to his rented apartment. The next morning, the landlord said, hey, your rent is due. You see, my friends, sometimes God will have to use means that are rough and tough to get our attention. Sometimes God will have to stop us right in our tracks to get us to look up at him and say, Lord, is that you? Wrote a check and went to the bank to cash it. It wouldn't go. There's no more money in the bank. One of his friends passed by and said, hey, got anything there? I got to get some breakfast. No. He didn't have anything. You see, as long as you have your strength, you may have a lot of friends. As long as you got money, you may have a lot of friends. But my friend, when tables are turned, when things are changed, you will know who are your real friends. And I say it right now, your parents, your family, they're the ones that are the real ones that will stick with you when times are tough. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. He begged and he borrowed, and no one gave to him. And he was getting hungrier and hungrier. He pawned whatever was left. And with what little money he had, he'd buy food. And he was getting worse. He wasn't shaving. His hair was growing long. He was out of an apartment. He was sleeping on the streets. And the money was gone. And he went and joined himself to a man who was taking care of pigs. One of the worst jobs a Jewish boy can do, feed pigs. But I'm going to tell you something, my friend. When you walk out of God's house, when you walk away from the Bible, when you walk away from the prayers of a father, when you leave behind what you know and you forsake the commandments of God, there is no upward for you. There is a downward. It may appear you're doing well, but suddenly it comes crashing down right on your head because you build your house on sand. You build your house on rock when you do the sayings of Jesus. And the Bible tells us a story. While he fed the pigs, he was so hungry. He almost ate some of the pigs' food. I don't know if you ever see pigs' food. And some of you have the experience. We mix everything up. All that is left over. All the rotten bananas. All the eggs that were not good. The meat that was spoiled. You know, everything. The rice that was no, we mix it all up together. And we pour it to the pigs. And they don't care where it's coming from. They just start. They just start eating it up. He had nothing. He was so hungry. Oh my goodness. Can you see how low God has to bring some people to let them understand what he's trying to do in their lives? One writer said, sometimes God has to put some people to lie on their backs so they can look up to him. Sometimes God will have to stop us when we think we're going so fast and we're doing so well that he can stop us, that we can check where we're going. Paul, his name was Saul before that, he was running crazy. He was going to kill the Christians. He was going to put them in jail. He had papers from the judge. He didn't care. He was full of rage and anger. A churchman, a top churchman, was going to kill the believers. And suddenly, bam, a light from heaven shone brighter than the noonday sun, knocked him down, and Jesus spoke to him. And he said, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. My friend, I'm going to tell you something. We may not have a miraculous situation like that. But every little thing that comes our way should make us realize the Lord is giving us some sign. Can you say amen? Can you picture this young man? Filthy. Messed up. Clothes torn. Hair overgrown. Bearded. Sweaty. Smelly. Suddenly he realized. See, I don't know, but I found out something. Prayers work when we are not even thinking about it. I believe his father was praying every day. Lord, I don't know where he is, but wherever he is, let him know I love him. Let him know I care for him. Let him know he can come back home. And suddenly, the Holy Spirit brought that message to him. I said, I tell you what, I'm realizing something. My father got many servants. And look at me here. Look at my condition. I'm going to get up here, and I'm going to my father. He had no fare to pay. He had to walk home. If he was living in America, he'd come a ride. Today, you don't pick anybody up. They may have big thumbs, but you don't like to pick them up. Somebody say amen. And while he was a great way off, the old man was looking. Every day he would strain his eyes. The sun would go down and he would look at the shadows. Maybe he'll come. You see, you young people that are here today, you will never realize how much your parents love you. Can't realize it. Can't figure it. But let me say, they love you more than you can imagine. They love you more than you can even ever pay for. They love you even more than themselves. And their love cannot be compared with the love of God. For God loves us far above everything else. The kids in the orphanage will sing, God's love so high, you can't get over it. So low, you can't get under it. So wide, you can't get around it. You've got to come through the door. The Father wished. The Father longed. He hoped. Any figure that comes by, it's not my son. Anybody going to the far city, the far country, said, if you see my son, his name is Prodigal. If you see Prodigal, tell him I love him. Somebody say amen. Are you still with me today? See, I give him a name there. Is that the right name? Prodigal, that's the guy. If you see Prodigal, tell him I love him. Tell him to come back home. And one day, when the sun began to go down, he saw something staggering up the road. He looked awful. No one should desire him. You see, my friends, when we are in sin, we don't look good. Oh, on the outward side, we may have on a nice coat, but within, corruption, greed, evil. We don't think well. And so when he saw this figure coming down, the old man ran. One little fellow in Sunday school teacher asked him, what did the old man do when he saw the boy? He said he ran and fell and hurt himself. He said he fell on his shoulder and hurt himself. I thought it was very funny. I never heard a letter before. You get it? Teacher asked him, what did the old man do when he saw the prodigal son? He ran and he fell on his shoulder and hurt himself. You ever see an old person running? You ever see an old person walking? They don't walk briskly. Can you see him running? Can you hear him breathing? He was going for his son. His genes were in him. His blood was in him. All his teaching was in his boy. I'm going to get him before he turns some other way. And when he ran, he fell upon his neck and hugged him and kissed him. He didn't mind the smell. The sweat of the boy was pacing on his neck also. He didn't mind it. You see, love sees beyond our faults. Love see more than our faults. Love see beyond our faults. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The psalmist David said, what? I was in a horrible pit when the Lord lifted me out and put me on a rock to stay. I was living with scorpions and snakes and centipedes in a horrible pit. But he lifted me out and he put my feet on a rock to stay, and today I'm happy. Somebody say amen. Amen. Kissed him and hugged him. See, love has many expressions. And one of the expressions is hugging, kissing. I want to pick up the words here. He had compassion. There was something within him that was driving him to go. I love him. I got to go. He ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. You see, my friend, we cannot force people to come to repentance. But the Holy Spirit can do work in their hearts. And they will cry out even before the sermon is done, Father, have mercy on me. Too many times we try to force people. Too many times we try to tell them it's ABC. All of sin and come short of the glory of God. You know, behold the Lamb of God to take away your sin. Confess your sins and he will forgive you. But it's more than that. It's the Holy Spirit getting hold of someone's heart. And then they will say, God, forgive me. Father, I've sinned against you. I've done you wrong. I realize what's going on. I realize what has happened to me. I realize I've messed up. I realize I've wasted my life. I've wasted my living. I don't want to be your son anymore. Just make me one of your servants. And here's a great truth in Scripture. If you're a son, you're a son. You might be a prodigal son, but you're a son. It doesn't matter which part of the country you go, you're a son. A lot of families like to have sons that carry on the name. You're a son of God, bought by the blood of Jesus, redeemed by that blood, forgiven, cleansed, washed, made anew through the cross of Jesus. Somebody say amen. I know the devil will come and tell you, but you're no longer a son. You're nothing. But I got news for you. You're a son. You're an heir. You're a child of God. You're born of the Spirit. You're born of water. You're born again. Somebody say amen. Amen. You're saved. Saved from sin. Saved from this world. Saved to serve God forevermore. Can you say amen? And the father was not even paying him attention. By then, a lot of other servants ran out. Ran on his father, said to him, go, listen, guys, do something for this guy. Wash him up. Put a robe on him. Put a ring on his finger. Put some shoes on his feet. A ring on your finger, you belong. Shoes on your feet, you're not a servant. You're a son. A robe. Purple robe. Princely robe. Somebody say amen. Amen. We're going to talk about the spiritual side just now. I'm going to close with that, but let's stay here for a while. You see, my friend, he belonged. The father didn't take a whip and say, come on, now let me hear it, son. Say it again, you're sorry. Wax! He said, come on now, tell me you waste my money again. I want to hear it. Wax! You know, there are many people that have the idea about God like that. And you're wrong. For God knows our weaknesses. It's like two people in a marriage relationship. We can't stay outside and judge, you know. We don't know. God knows. Somebody say amen. God knows. And I'm telling you this morning, God is more willing to forgive than to beat. God is more willing to let you in than to drive you away. He said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And he said, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Stop running. Come unto me, and I'll give you peace. He said, come unto me and drink. And out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. He was a new man. Got his hair cut. Put some deodorant on him. And some aftershave. Smell good. But he was still hungry. So the father said, get the fatted calf. You always keep stock for celebration. Bring it out here. We're going to have a party today. My son was dead. See, you read that and you pass it over. But that's literally true. There was no communication with him. He couldn't see him. He couldn't hear him. He couldn't feel him. He was dead. He was dead in sins. He was dead far away. Somebody say amen. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. When we don't know God, we are dead spiritually. We can't respond unless the Holy Ghost ignites us and quickens us. And then we respond to God. Oh, my friend, I was dead. The preacher would preach and I don't hear what he's saying. They would sing beautiful songs like Amazing Grace. Never touch me. I want some rock and roll. My master was different. I was dead to the things of God. prayer. But when God touched me, he reached down his hand and touched me. My eyes were open. And now they start singing. My heart breaks. Somebody say amen. I don't know. They start singing and my hands go up. And I close my eyes. They read the scripture and the joy will start ringing my heart. I said, whoa, I like that promise. God promised me something. It's different when God accepts you into his family. It's different when God forgives you and blot out your past. Let's go forward a little. Next morning I got up and the father said, son, come sitting, I want to talk to you. And he started telling him all the girls that he had and all the beers that he drank. And you were so wicked and you're no good. No, sir. No! When we come to God and we confess our sins, you know what happened with them? He cast them behind his back. He cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. And as far as the east is from the west, so far had he removed our sins from us. He put them in a bag and he hid them away. I'm so glad when I stand before Christ on that day, when the judgment seat of Christ, my sins will not come up. Amen. They're gone. They're gone forever. And he said, bring the fatted lamb. We're going to celebrate. Bring the music, guys. Bring the guitar out. Bring the drums. We're going to have a party. And the first man to start dancing was the old man. I mean, he was moving slow, but he was dancing. I mean, he was moving slow, but he was dancing. I mean, he was doing it, you know. He was doing it. Years of prayers have been answered. Many tears were shed, and now it's time for rejoicing. But somebody didn't like it. The older son came home and said, what's going on? So you didn't know your brother came home and your father is having a party because you received him safe and sound. He said, that's not right. Can't do that in the church, he said. Did I say church? See, there's some churches, they can't allow certain people to come in. If you get long hair, you stay outside. If you wear shorts, you stay outside. If you're divorced, you can't come to our church. You know, there's some pastors in some churches can marry divorced couples again. Think about it. Aren't you glad you belong to a church where anybody can come in and find the grace of God? We don't know where they've been. We don't know what they've done. They're hurt. They're bruised. The devil had destroyed them. But they can come into the house of God and feel the Holy Spirit moving over them and healing their wounds. And this guy said, I'm not going to the party. I'm not going. His father came out and begged him, son, come on in. Your brother is saved. He was dead, but he's alive. He was lost, and we find him. Come join us. I don't want any barbecue lamb. I don't want any wine. I don't want nothing. He said, because you don't treat me right. Here was this guy, went out and spent all he had with all these wicked women and live a riotous life, and you got a party when he come home? I'm here, I clean the church, I sweep the church, I usher in the church, I work in the kitchen, I work in the sound. You never had a party for me. What was I? I went off my sermon there, didn't I? Very sad to say today, we got some people just like that. They can't rejoice at the saving of a soul. They can't rejoice when a sinner repents. They find a fault. But in heaven, Gideon is blowing his trumpet, and David is playing his harp, and Miriam is dancing with her tambourine. And they're having a wonderful time because another sinner has come home. Amen. What is the purpose of your church? What is the purpose of your life? It was not to run out there and fall on the neck of somebody who has lost all. They lost hope. There are people today lost their families. They lost their jobs. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to turn. And they think the next best thing is to take their lives. Somebody's got to reach them. Amen. You heard a story about the man who went to church. And while he was in church, he was praying, "Oh Lord, I want to do something for you. I want you to use me." And after church that day, he went in his car and the Lord spoke to him and said, "Go get a gallon of milk." So that's crazy. I don't need any milk. Why am I going to get milk? And the voice will not leave him. "Go get a gallon of milk. Go get a gallon." He said, "Lord, I don't understand this, Lord." He went in the store, got a gallon of milk. He said, "I don't understand this." And the Lord continued to speak to him. He said, "I want you to go over to the house, over the railroad tracks, and give them the milk." He said, "Lord, we don't do that here. They might chase us. They might, you know, they might embarrass me." And the Lord said, "You go over there and give them the milk." Nervously he went, rapped in the door, and here come a big, strong guy, beard. "What you want?" He said, "I brought this milk." And in the back you could hear the baby was screaming. And the big, strong guy said, he said, "Mary, come over here. You got some milk. You've been praying for milk, and this guy brought some milk." She has been praying, and God sent some milk. He obeyed God. You know, that's why we're living in this world today. You claim you have the Holy Spirit. You claim you're filled with the power of God. Let the Holy Ghost lead you. Let the Holy Ghost lead you to someone who's hurting. Let the Holy Ghost lead you to some young person that is down on drugs, down in the world. Let the Holy Ghost lead you to someone who is divorced, someone who is going through a hard time. Let him lead you. Don't just sit here and complain. I don't like the pastor's sermon this morning. I think the music was too loud. I think they ought to turn up the air conditioning a little more, brother. See, these chairs are too far away. I wonder if you're going to make it into heaven with that kind of attitude. And I tell you, my friend, God's business is the saving of souls. God's business is to help those whom Satan is destroying. And God, he don't have any hands but your hands. He don't have any feet but your feet. You've got to go there, and you've got to ask God to lead you to someone who is suffering. And you've got to lay your holy hands on them. You've got to say, pray for them, and you've got to bring them to know Jesus Christ. Amen. And when you start winning souls for the Lord in this church, every Sunday morning, there will be a celebration. Every Sunday morning. You see, some of that celebration in heaven, hallelujah, will come down in this church, and the glory of God and the power of God will fill this place, and someone's going to run and dance in the Spirit, and someone's going to jump, and someone's going to shout, and someone's going to praise God. Why are you so happy? A sinner has come home. Hallelujah. Amen. But you know, they're not so perfect. I don't know. They still do this, they still do that. We've got 26 kids at our orphanage. And I'll tell you today, I believe every one of them is saved. But they're not perfect. But you ought to come there and see them worship. And if tears don't come to your eyes, then you're dead spiritually. Little Terrence will come and say, "I want somebody to sing a special song for me." Terrence, 3 years old, Trina, come right up and said, "Welcome, Holy Spirit. oh my God, I couldn't bear it. It breaks your heart. They'll come forward and they'll lift their hands and they'll close their eyes and they'll worship God. And they'll worship God. Those kids that we have, they fast and pray. But before that, they curse bad words. They worship Hindu gods. They do everything in the world. One little girl, Rhea is her name, 6 years old. She told me the other day and she was smiling. He said, me and Kelly, we watch blue movies. I said, oh my God. In Guyana, in America, we say, you know, they're exposed to everything. But in Guyana, it's there. Somebody got to go out. And the Bible said the Lord came down into the temple and his train filled the temple. And Isaiah said, who am I, Lord? I'm a man of unclean lips. He said, when the presence of God came into the temple, the door shook. And the Lord said, who will go for us? And whom shall we send? And then the angel took a coal, a life coal from the altar and touched his lips. He said, now your lip is clean. He said, here, my Lord, send me. I'm closing. Some of you parents sitting here, you have children that have gone far away. They hurt you. They rip you up. They broke your heart. But you can't stop praying for them. You can't give up. You can't quit. Your prayer might be the only line that is holding them. Your prayer might be the only thing that God is looking upon and sparing them. You can't stop. Right around you here in Palmyra, there are people that are struggling and suffering. We got to reach them. We got to reach them. We got to reach them. We got to win them. We got to tell them about Jesus Christ. You got to tell them about the love of God. God doesn't want attitude. God doesn't want style. He wants people that are willing. People that are ready. God loves the sinner. God hates what the devil is doing to young people's lives. He hates it. But somebody got to stand in the gap. Somebody has got to go out there and bring them in. Set them free in the name of Jesus. Amen. Somebody got to go there and tell them, Jesus loves you and gave himself for you. Let's stand together for prayer this morning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I was blind, but now there is a moving of the presence of God in this place. I don't want anybody to leave. But hear me this morning. You have a loved one that is lost. You have a child that is gone. You've got a son that has broken your heart. A daughter who lied on you. You've got problems in the family. I want to ask you to be humble this morning. And let's spend a few minutes in prayer. I want to ask you to step out and come. And stand in for these people. Stand in for them. You're standing in for your son. You're standing in for your daughter. You're standing in for your family. You're standing in for your husband. You're standing in for your wife. You're standing in for somebody that you know that need prayer this morning. My friend, don't take it lightly. God still answers prayers. Don't take it lightly. God still answers prayer. Oh, I've tried before, Pastor. Oh, but God can do it again. God can do it again. Let's sing that chorus again. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. through many dangers? Through many. Lift your hands and sing it unto the Lord. Pray in the name of Jesus. Everyone pray today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Son of God today. In the name of the Lord, we break bonds. In the name of the Lord, we set captives free. In the name of the Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit will go wherever these people are. Lord, wherever they are bound, wherever they are chained, wherever they are in prison, wherever they are in another city, I pray the Holy Ghost will go today. Oh, yes, Lord. Let them know somebody is praying for them. Mama is praying for them. Dad is praying for them. A brother is praying for them. In the name of Jesus, a friend is praying for them today. That drug habit is going to be broken in the name of Jesus. Holy Andoroma Sequoia. Worship the Lord. Worship God in the name of Jesus. Don't be afraid to worship God. Just be free in the spirit. Worship God. Worship God. Unero Jose Mandaya. Moleba Jose Matea. Mandari Andoma Sequota. Moleba Risi Koma Seda. Would everyone, would you say this prayer with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I pray, forgive me if I have an attitude. Oh my God, I need to be like the prodigal son, Father. I need to be like him. I need compassion. I need to run with the message. I need to reach those who are hurting, bruised, destroyed by sin, and tell them Jesus loved them. Oh my God, empowerment with the power of the Holy Ghost. Let the rejoicing in heaven over one sinner reach my heart. And let that rejoicing come in me. And let me start to sing songs of victory. I pray for the one today that I'm standing in for. Together, Lord, as a church, we ask you, in the name of Jesus, oh, reach them. Send the preacher. Send an angel. Give them a dream. Give them a vision. Oh, we love them, Lord. Please protect them and bring them home. Save their souls. Deliver them from the powers of Satan, the demons that hold them and messes their minds. In the name of Jesus, we pray against them and we rebuke them. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worship him. Worship him. Would you give God for your own salvation? Give him praise. For you were lost. You were far away. You were in another country. But God reached you. God reached you by his power and brought you out. And here the Lord got a message. He's got a message for those with an attitude. You keep your attitude up, and the Spirit of God will not dwell with you. You cannot, the Spirit of God cannot dwell with people with bad attitude. He will not dwell with them. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Pastor Doug, will you come? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God.
You know, that decision from the prodigal son
to
come home changed his life. What decisions can you make today that will change your life? Maybe there's an adjustment that you need to make in your heart. It takes one decision. Say, I'm going to live for God. I want. Say this with me. Say, Father, you created me. You loved me. You made a way to save me and to give me all that I need, want, or desire. And today, in this moment, I decide that I'm going to give my all back to you. I'm not going to serve the flesh. I'm not going to serve the devil. I'm not going to serve the world. But I'm going to serve my Father God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. In Jesus' name, I decide today that I'm going to follow you wherever you may lead. Not my will, but yours be done. Begin a work in me. Take me on my journey. I take your hand in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you've made that decision,